three presiding deities of Vrindavan, Sri Govinda, Govindavan, and Bhagavan. Our glories to Shyamakunda, and the Yamuna River, Govindi. Our glories to the great forest known as Mahavan, and Krishna and Balaram, displayed all of their childhood pastimes. Speaking a little bit about Govardhan Hill, and trying to find the chapter. What its particular significance is to us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and how this day was observed by Krishna himself when he manifested himself 5,000 years ago when he cancelled the Indra Yajna and requested all the cowherd men and women and boys and girls to utilize all the various ingredients which they had gathered for the performance of the Indra Puja, instead to worship the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. Last week, on Sunday, if you were here, we spoke a lot about Vrindavan and the nature of the pastimes of the Lord, and how they are displayed in the transcendental realm of Vrindavan, of loving reciprocal relationships with his eternal associates in the transcendental realm, in the spiritual world, and how that transcendental realm of the spiritual world is manifest in this world and in this universe and in all the unlimited universes, where the Lord displays his eternal lila to attract the fallen conditioned souls to the transcendental realm of Goloka. We understand that wherever the Lord manifests himself, then that place becomes Dham, or becomes a holy place. Therefore, not only does the Lord manifest himself, but when he appears in Vrindavan, he brings his entire abode with him. And those pastimes, although they may be apricot, are not visible to unmanifest to the ordinary human being according to his vision. It may appear simply to be like a simple rural village in India. For those whose eyes and whose consciousness is steeped in love and affection for the Lord and his eternal associates, he understands that this is not an ordinary place. This is the transcendental abode of the Lord. And even when the entire universe is destroyed, that transcendental abode remains intact. Of course, we speak about the universal destruction, and we understand that during the time of the Indra, when the Indra Puja was cancelled by Lord Krishna, and when he requested residents of Vrindavan to perform the Govardhan Puja, Indra, in his anger, called upon the Samvartika clouds to destroy Vrindavan, to punish them for their behavior. And those same Samvartika clouds are the clouds which appear at the time of universal destruction, which inundates the entire universe with torrential rains. But that transcendental abode of Vrindavan, as we explained last week, is a loving display of the Lord's eternal pastimes. And the Lord appears in each universe to display these pastimes with his eternal associates who appear with him. So not only do the associates of the Lord, like the gopis of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, not only do they appear with him, but actually even places like Govardhan, they also appear. And it is described in the Gauga Samhita. Here was a narration which describes the appearance of Govardhan. That at the time when the Lord was appearing and who was actually speaking to his eternal consort, Radharani, saying that it was the time for the Lord to appear within the universe, Radharani was saying that actually, how can I possibly go with you? How can I stay behind? If I stay behind, I will lose my life. But how can I go with you? I can't go with you unless Vrindavan is manifest there, unless the Yamuna River is manifest there, unless the Govardhan is manifest there. Because for Radharani, this is what stimulates her. These places stimulate her unalloyed love and devotion for the Lord. And for her, it would be inconceivable that how could she possibly descend into the world without Govardhan, Vrindavan, and the river. And Lord Krishna assured her that actually do not worry, actually I've already arranged for Govardhan to appear. As we said, the Lord, by his inconceivable potencies, just as the Lord is the creates unlimited universe by the transformation of his energies, and from transformation of energies and through his different expansions, unlimited universes are created from the form of Mahavishnu. And all these universes are compared to be like simply mustard seeds in a bucket of mustard, like a mustard seed in a bucket of mustard seeds. There are unlimited, so many universes in entire cosmic manifestation. So just as the Lord can create unlimited universes, certainly the Lord can also arrange for his abode to manifest in this universe. And he had already arranged for Yamuna, for Vrindavan, and for Govardhan Hill to appear in order to satisfy the desires of Srimati Radharani. But it just so happens when Govardhan appeared, he appeared in a place called Samali Dvipa. It's a place west of, it wasn't quite in Vrindavan. It was a place west of Vrindavan. And appeared as the son of Drona, or Dronachal. Drona was a mountain. And just as Krishna's associates, when they appear in this world, they have take birth from the Lord's associates. So in the same way, Govardhan Hill appeared in this world, as described in the Gauranga Samhita, as the son of Dronachal. And when that mountain appeared in this world, all the other mountains, the great mountains like the Himalaya, Mount Sumeru, and many other great mountains, they also appeared at that place to worship and to recognize that this is no ordinary mountain. This is a mountain which has appeared by the will of the Lord in order to facilitate the Lord's eternal pastimes in this world. And they offered all homage to this mountain, Govardhan. The Govardhan means actually that place which nourishes Krishna's cows. It's one of the meanings of Govardhan. So they offered all homage to Govardhana, and he became at that time known as Giriraj, or the king of all mountains. And then, as is described in the Garga Samhita, although this may be very difficult to conceive or to understand, nonetheless, it is given as the actual event which took place, which brought Govardhana or Giriraj into Braj, that into Vrindavan. He was one ascetic. His name was Pulastri Muni. He was a very powerful sage by dint of his severe austerities. And as he was wandering around that tract of land, he became very attracted to Govardhana. And he saw all the lush flowers, gardens, trees, and plants, and rivers flowing, and it was such a beautiful place. He thought that it would be an ideal place for him to perform his austerities. And he was a resident of Kasi, and he wanted to bring this Govardhan Hill to Kasi, so he could perform his austerities there in that place, on Govardhan Hill. So he approached Dronachal, and he requested him, "Please, I want to take Govardhan to Kasi and to bring him to that place so I can perform my austerities there." So Dronachal, of course, was crying. He didn't want to bear the separation of his son, who had manifested and been with him for quite some time. This was quite some time after that Pulastri Muni had appeared at that place. But the Dronachal said, "How will it be possible for you to carry this hill from one place to the next?" He said, "Do not worry." He said, "I'm a very powerful sage. By dint of my austerities, I can perform any miraculous feats. And nonetheless, without your permission, without your blessings, I cannot take your son. So please give me permission that I can take him to Kasi and to bring him there so I can perform my austerities there at that place." So Dronachal knew that Pulastri Muni was very powerful. And when he said this, he became very disturbed, thinking that what happens if I make him angry by refusing? What could he possibly do? So he told him that in order to avoid making you angry, I have to agree to let you take Govardhan. But Govardhan, who appeared, understood that I've come here to assist the Lord in his pastimes in Vrindavan. That is why I have taken birth in this world. Therefore, he told the sage Pulastri Muni, "How is it possible?" I asked him, "How is it possible that you carry me?" And he said, "Well, it's all right. Don't worry. I'll just take you on my right hand and I'll carry you to Kasi." So Govardhan agreed on the condition. He said, "Okay, you can take me, but on one condition, that if along the way at any point you put me down, then I will stay in that place and I will not continue. So please remember this. And if you want me to go to Kasi, do not put me down anywhere along the way." So Pulastri Muni agreed to the conditions, and then he actually, by his mystic potencies and by the agreement of Govardhan, he lifted and held in his right hand and began carrying him to Kasi. As they were passing through the tract of Vrindavan, Govardhan was thinking, seeing this wonderful abode, this transcendental abode, and was thinking, "This is the place where I'm to actually reside to fulfill the wishes of my Lord, my Master, Krishna, and to satisfy him and display my pastimes in this place." So at that moment, as Pulastri Muni was passing through that tract of land of Vrindavan, Govardhan actually started to become very heavy, and Pulastri Muni couldn't hold him. It was very difficult for him to hold him. But it's also explained that he had to take care of the call of nature. And because he had to take care of the call of nature, he completely forgot about the conditions that he agreed upon with Gary and Govardhan, that he would not put him down anywhere along the way. So in order to fulfill his call of nature, he put Govardhan down, and then he went and fulfilled his duties, took bath, and came back to lift Govardhan to carry, continue the journey to Kasi. And Govardhan said, "Don't you remember? You made an agreement. You agreed that I would, if you put me down in any place along the way, that I would stay in that place and I would not continue along with your journey." And Pulastri Muni, of course, he became very angry at this. And he actually cursed Govardhan. He cursed him. He said that as a result of not satisfying my wishes and not coming with me, because it was impossible for him to live, he said, "I curse you that every day you will sink the size of one mustard seed into the ground." So Govardhan actually accepted that curse. Although originally when Govardhan appeared in this world, the description was given that it was, I think, how many koshas? Yojanas, 16 miles. It was 8 yojanas long, 5 yojanas wide, and 2 yojanas high. So that's, whatever it is, you calculated, 8 times 16. it was a very huge mountain. And it was so high that almost it was reaching the clouds, 2 miles high. Two yojanas, 32 miles high. So, as a result of taking that curse, accepting that curse, actually, if you go to Govardhan today, you'll see that in some places Govardhan is visible. In some places, it's actually below the surface. You cannot see Govardhan because it's actually sinking in the ground. And it's stated actually in the Garga Samhita that the full symptoms of Kali Yuga will not manifest until Govardhan is no longer visible. And it states that it will take approximately 10,000 years, of which 5,000 years have passed. So, of course, Govardhan is still manifest in that place, but it is sinking. In fact, our temple in Govardhan, the Bhaktivedanta Ashram, Keshava Bharati Das Goswami was telling me, when they first acquired that place, it's across the street from Govardhan. It was a beautiful vision. If you go to the Bhaktivedanta Ashram, there's Viparikam Marg, where everybody circumambulates and Govardhan Hill, and you can see Govardhan right across the street. I don't know how high, quite high, across the street from our temple. But he was telling me when they first acquired the property, they had to dig for water for the well because the well was dry, and they had to dig down very, very deep. And they, after digging down, I can't remember how many feet it was quite a distance they had to dig. They hit a rock and discovered that actually it's Govardhan Hill that's underneath the Govardhan, the Bhaktivedanta Ashram Palace. And it extended way out along a much longer distance. And they could understand that this is Govardhan Hill is sinking underground. And now, of course, the distance to circumambulate Govardhan Hill is approximately in circumference, it's about 21, 22 kilometers. But previously, it was much, much bigger, much bigger. So this is how Govardhan appeared. And Radharani, of course, as we explained in the beginning, she said that she would not agree to go unless Govardhan was also manifest in this material world. So Govardhan is very, very dear to Srimati Radharani, in one verse. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, she declares that Govardhan is Haridasa Bhaya. But Govardhan is seen in two ways. One is the best of the servants of Lord Hari. She says that of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh my dear friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram along with his cows and calves and cowherd boyfriends with all kinds of necessities, such as fresh, very soft grass, water, water for drinking, provides flowers, fruits, and vegetables, and caves. So she's thinking in this way that Govardhan is serving Lord Krishna's pastimes, is serving Krishna and Balaram by providing a very nice backdrop for his pastimes, his leelas. The fresh grasses are there, it's described that the aromatic grasses on Govardhan Hill, the cows would go and they would graze there on this grass, and it would provide an unlimited supply of, as we were describing last week about the Kamadhenu cows, provide unlimited quantities of milk to anyone who desired. So the grasses on Govardhan were considered to be very fragrant aromatic grass. And of course, Govardhan was serving Krishna's pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends. When he would take the cows out to pasture, they would go to Govardhan and they would graze on Govardhan Hill. If you go to Govardhan today, especially after the rainy season, you see that the Govardhan is very lush, filled with, and you'll see actually there the cows are always grazing along the inner path of Govardhan. But during Krishna's pastimes, of course, Nanda Maharaj had so many unlimited cows, and Krishna and Balaram, they would go out daily to the pasture grounds and they would take their cows to Govardhan Hill to graze. It's also described that Govardhan provides so many caves for the Lord's pastimes, where the devotees could go, where Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends, they could go in the heat of the sun or from the rain. They would go and they would take shelter of the caves. And in those caves also, the Lord's pastimes, where he would go and with his devotees and take shelter in those caves. And there would be so many rivers for taking bath, for washing their mouth after eating, when the cowherd boys would sit and take their lunch. They would take their lunch and afterwards they would go to the river to clean their mouths and to clean their hands. And Govardhan was providing all of these things as a backdrop for the Lord's pastimes. And Radharani, she was thinking that this Govardhan is the best of Krishna's servants, because it is serving the Lord's pastimes by assisting him in this wonderful, wonderful way. So this is one way that Govardhan is seen as a servant of the Supreme Lord. But also Govardhan is worshipped as none different from the Lord. Even Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago when he went to Vrindavan and when he went to Govardhan. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated by his own example that Krishna is not different from that Govardhan Hill is not different from Krishna. He would refuse to step on Govardhan Hill. And he also, Lord Chaitanya had it with him, he would carry with him for quite some time, for a few years. He had a Shila that Lord Chaitanya would take. It was a rock, a stone of Govardhan Hill. Lord Chaitanya kept this with him for several years. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya would take the Shila and put it to his heart. And sometimes he would bathe the Shila with his tears as he would cry. And he would hold the Shila in his hand. He would say, This Shila, this stone, is not different from Krishna. Not different. And it's the same Shila that Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das Goswami and asked Raghunath Das Goswami to worship that Shila. Lord Chaitanya himself worship that Shila as non-different from Krishna himself. So we understand that Govardhan is non-different than the Lord, as displayed in the pastime when Krishna requested all the residents of Vrindavan to worship Govardhan Hill, and when they began taking all the paraphernalia and that they were going to use for the Indra Yagya, and began worshipping the Brahmins, cows, and Govardhan, then Krishna assumed a very wonderful form on top of Govardhan. And Krishna, he was standing there with all the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, and he told them, look at Govardhan, just see on top of that stationary hill, we see that there is his arms, there is his face, there is his body, and he's reaching out, and he wants to accept our offerings. And Krishna said, look at this very wonderful form, because it was an animated form on top of Govardhan Hill. And when all the residents of Vrindavan looked at that hill, they saw the hill moving, reaching out to accept their offerings. And Krishna, who is non-different from the hill, he said, let us offer our obeisances to the hill. So Krishna manifested that wonderful form in Govardhan Hill. And then he offered, he himself, although he was not different from the hill, he offered his obeisances along with all the residents of Vrindavan. And they said, now let us circumambulate Govardhan Hill with the cows, the cowherd boys, the cowherd women, the gopis, everyone. We should go and have a big festival, and we should have an anukut, bring unlimited quantities of foods, everything that you were going to prepare for the Indra Yagya, now instead prepare all unlimited quantities of foodstuffs and make a mountain of foodstuffs and offer it to Govardhan Hill. So, as we know, after the arrangement of Govardhan Puja was made by the Lord, and he convinced the residents of Vrindavan to give up the Indra Yagya and to worship Govardhan Hill, last time, as we understand, is that Indra became very angry. Who is this talkative child who has somehow convinced the residents of Vrindavan? Don't they know it is a tradition? Every year they perform this yagya, worship me. Without me, how can they possibly be clouds to provide and rains which nourish the grasses, over which the cows are grazing every day? I am actually it is necessary that I be worshipped. And became very disturbed that the worship had been somehow stopped by this talkative child. And being very proud, he began to think that Krishna was just simply some ordinary talkative child. And he became puffed up and thought that he would not only punish the residents of Vrindavan, he would punish the cows, and he would punish everyone. By calling upon the Samvartika clouds to inundate Vrindavan and to create a torrential rainfall, which was described like huge, huge pillars of water. And these are the same clouds which are called upon at the time of universal devastation. So, immediately, Indra called upon the Samvartika clouds to punish them, and the Samvartika clouds appeared before them, and they agreed to go to that place, and Indra told them, punish them. And they actually was even thinking that he wanted to destroy them. So, it's described that this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then there's one verse how it's explained that it was all this was arranged by the Lord's Lila Shakti, his pastime potency. I just wanted to read. There's a nice example that is given. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. In the commentary it said, Even before being informed that the rain was created by Indra, Krishna understood that Indra was responsible. The severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency, Lila Shakti, so that Krishna could taste the sweetness of their love to his full satisfaction. For a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example. And just like it's a person who experiences severe hunger, that hunger actually increases the relishing, the relishment of eating a very wonderful feast, excellent feast, tasty feast. It enhances it. If one was not hungry, one was full, having already eaten the feast, and you look at the feast, you have a different mood towards that feast than when you're feeling hunger. When you look at that feast, it really enhances, you know, your mouth begins to water, and you think about how you, especially when it's prasadam, how much you want to relish that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also explains that actually the apparent distress that was created for the residents of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan actually was just an arrangement of the Lord's Lila Shakti. It appeared that they were suffering, but actually it was to enhance their pleasure of being with Krishna. It was to enhance their pleasure of being present with Krishna continuously for 7 days. This is some. It was a unique event because under ordinary circumstances, Krishna during the day he's with his cowherd boyfriends. Krishna at night, he's to Mother Jasoda, he's sleeping. To the gopis, he's appearing with the gopis at night. And different times of the day, Krishna is with respective devotees according to the particular pastimes of that of the day. But during the Govardhan Leela, for 7 continuous days, everyone was with Krishna. All day. And night. The cowherd boys were there, Mother Jasoda was there, all the elderly cowherd women, the cowherd men, the gopis, the cows, the calves, the Brahmins. They were all present. And Krishna was the cynosure. And we know, what did Krishna do to protect the residents of Vrindavan? He actually became very, if he wanted to, he could have punished Indra severely. But actually he decided he would do something very wonderful instead to satisfy his devotees. So, as the Lord, the Lastra Muni can carry a hill, then certainly Krishna can hold the hill, and describe that just as a child holds a mushroom in his hand, the same way Lord Krishna picked up Govardhan Hill and held it to protect the residents of Vrindavan and told them, do not be afraid, that this hill, or thinking that this hill will fall from my hand. Krishna effortlessly, he immediately ran when he saw the torrential rains, and he saw that all the valleys were filling up with water, and the water was coming down like sheets, like pillars, like hail. And the cows, they were thinking how to protect their calves, and the calves were hiding under the necks of their cows as the cows were trying to protect their calves from the torrential rains. The cows were described were becoming, and the bulls, they were becoming very angry. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they were becoming fearful. What is this? How is this? What is happening to us? And Krishna, seeing them apparently in this anxiety, what is the natural mood that the devotees of Vrindavan, they feel whenever they experience any distress? They immediately look to Krishna. Of course, they look to Krishna, not because he's God, but because they think that actually Krishna is our only protector. We know only whenever there is a difficult situation arranged by the Lord's Lila Shakti, either it's a devastating forest fire, or the torrential rains of Indra, or wherever, or the appearance of a demon, in the childhood pastimes of the Lord, so many demons appear. The devotees would always think that it's okay, Krishna, he'll do like he always does, he'll protect us. And they just simply would look to Krishna because they remember the words of Garga Muni at the time of the name giving ceremony, that actually your son, when he told Nanda Maharaj and about his son with his activities, and he would be as good as Lord Narayan. So they're thinking that, yes, we never thought that Krishna is God, but they think that actually he's our friend, he's my son, and they just simply turn all their attention to Krishna. So Krishna became the cynosure for 7 continuous days. When he lifted up Govardhan Hill, he held it on his small finger of his left hand, and he invited everyone, please come under the umbrella of this Govardhan Hill. Do not be afraid to think that this hill will slip from my head. Come. And underneath that hill, it was a very beautiful place. It was not just simply, you know, someone may think underneath, pick up a hill and underneath there's all these worms and dirt. No, Krishna had created beautiful lakes and rivers and pasturing grounds. Everything that was manifest in Vrindavan was also manifest under the hill. So, all the residents, they were a little bit, you know, hesitant, reluctant, we should go under the hill. But when Krishna had arranged by his internal potency that everything under the hill was just as beautiful as Vrindavan. And all the cowherd men, cowherd women, boys and girls and cows and calves, they all entered in, and everyone was standing around and looking at Krishna and experiencing their particular relationship that they have with Krishna. And looking continuously upon his beautiful face, Mother Jasoda, who thinks in parental affection, when she saw Krishna holding the hill after several days, she was in complete distress. She was in anxiety because of her maternal affection for Krishna. She thinks, how can my son, you know, can possibly hold up this hill for so long? She was thinking that Krishna hadn't eaten for days. His body was becoming emaciated. His waist, his belt was falling from his waist. And she was bringing food, saying, please, you know, wanted to transfer the weight of this hill to Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd man, and please accept my food. Let them hold it for some time. And Mother Mangal, in his joking way, he was saying, actually Krishna's not even holding this hill. Don't you know I'm a Brahmin, and by the power of my mantras, this hill is actually staying aloft on Krishna's hand. And the cowherd boys who had friendly relationships with Krishna, who thought themselves equal with Krishna, they were saying to Krishna, Krishna, you know, you must be getting tired by now. Why don't you switch the hill and let Sridham hold it for a while so that we can massage your arm? You must be so tired. And they were thinking in terms of their friendly relationships. Mother Jasoda was thinking in terms of their parental relationships. And the gopis, in terms of their conjugal relationships, they were looking at Krishna. And Krishna was casting sidelong glances and looking upon the gopis, as the gopis were also looking, casting sidelong glances and looking at Krishna, increasing their love for him and experiencing Krishna's presence. Continuously, for 7 days, they stood under that hill, while the Samvartita clouds were inundating Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan were feeling no distress whatsoever. Their ecstasy, just as we gave the example, when a person feels hunger, then when they eat a feast, it enhances the eating of the feast. In the same way, that apparent distress with the residents of Vrindavan were put into by the torrential rains of the Samvartika clouds was simply to enhance their love for Krishna. And they enjoyed Krishna's presence, his presence continuously for 7 days, and his beauty, and relished how wonderful it was that Krishna was holding up the hill and protecting them all from the torrential rains. So, Govardhan Lila, of course, is a wonderful pastime of the Lord, lifting of Govardhan Hill, and as we said, the Lord assumed a body which is non-different from Govardhan Hill. And he also is known as the lifter, Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, which he lifted to protect his devotees. And then after Indra saw what was happening, he saw that Krishna was protecting all the cowherd men, he felt that his plans were thwarted and frustrated. Then he called back the Samvartika clouds, and then Krishna put down the hill, and then of course all the residents left from underneath the hill first. And Krishna placed down the hill in the same place, and then Indra realized that he had committed a grievous mistake, becoming puffed up by his position as the king of the heavenly planets. He thought that he could punish the residents of Vrindavan, but instead Krishna, by his lila shakti, his potency, of his pastime potency, created a very wonderful, endearing event for the devotees and residents of Vrindavan. This is one of the pastimes of the Lord, the lifter of the Govardhan Hill. And we are observing today the Govardhan Puja ceremony, as we explained when Lord Krishna requested the residents of Vrindavan to build or to prepare mountains of foodstuffs. He said, where was it here? Where he explained what to do. He said, "My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill begin. With all paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from sweet rice to vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cakes, both baked and fried, should be prepared, and all the available milk products should be taken for the sacrifice. Brahmins who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. After giving the appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely, smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumambulate the cows, the Brahmins, the sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill." This is what Krishna had requested. Of course, we're not going chronologically, but this is what Krishna had requested for the Govardhan Puja sacrifice. All of these different varieties of foodstuffs be prepared. So as is the tradition on Govardhan Puja, we are preparing a mountain, a prasadam, I believe, and a feast. And we've also have a calf who will also circumambulate Govardhan Hill with us. And in this way, we try to include some of the relevant pastimes which we should meditate upon and remember on this worshipable day of Govardhan Puja. He said, and Krishna himself said, that anyone who does not perform this Govardhan Puja ceremony will ultimately meet with destruction. So certainly we should not only observe this by having kirtan, circumambulating Govardhan Hill, and I think it's worship of the cow too, isn't it?
What?
Is there good puja? PR? How do you like it? I seem to recall in previous years there was good puja, but I don't know. But that was Krishna's request. To worship the cows, to worship Govardhan Hill, and to worship the Brahmins on this day. And this is the pastime which is performed in connection with that. So we've discussed a little bit about the Govardhan Puja ceremony and how Krishna and how Govardhan Hill is worshipped both as the servant of Krishna and as not different than Krishna himself. in our charters and Pacific succession. They worship Govardhan Hill and desire to reside eternally in that place, in Govardhan, to participate in the Lord's eternal pastimes as they are manifest in the transcendental realm of Goloka, and as they are also visible to those who have the eyes to see in that place when one goes to Vrindavan and when one goes to Govardhan and circumambulates Govardhan Hill. They see how this Govardhan is a very intimate associate of the Lord, and they worship the Lord. In fact, I think one other example which just came to mind is the Sanatana Goswami. It was Raghunath Das Goswami who worshipped the Govardhan Shila as not different from Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami also, this describes Sanatana Goswami. Every day he used to perform parikram of Govardhan Hill. But he didn't do the parikram as we know it today. He used to perform a much larger parikram, which is a distance of 24 miles. And he did that every day until he was very old, and it was very difficult for him to do it. And then, even though it was difficult, he kept his vow to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And then one day, a young cowherd boy, Sanatana Goswami used to reside in a place called Chakratirtha in Govardhan. And one day a young cowherd boy appeared before Sanatana Goswami and asked him, "Why are you continuing to perform this circumambulation of Govardhan Hill? You're very old and it's very difficult for you to do it." And Sanatana Goswami said, "No, I have made a vow to perform this circumambulation of Govardhan Hill every day. Even though it is difficult, I must continue." But the young cowherd boy said, "No." He said, "Just wait a minute." And the cowherd boy, he walked up onto Govardhan Hill, and then he took a stone from Govardhan Hill, and actually in that stone was the imprint that when he entered and walked upon Govardhan Hill, he caused Govardhan Giriraj to melt in ecstasy and left an imprint in that stone. And he took that stone and he brought it back and gave it to Sanatana Goswami. And he said, "Every day, instead of circumambulating this hill, walking 24 miles, you should just simply walk around the stone, which is not different from Govardhan." And later Sanatana Goswami realized that this cowherd boy was none other than Krishna himself. So when he realized that it was Krishna himself that had given the Shila and told him to circumambulate, at that point he began just simply walking around the Shila. And he did that until he actually departed from this world. So the Lord, personally, there's so many examples in the Shastra how the Lord takes care of his devotees. And the Lord, he actually personally came and appeared before Sanatana Goswami at Chakratirtha and gave him the Shila, and that Shila is still present. And that same Shila that Sanatana Goswami was worshipping is still being worshipped today. And this is another example of how Govardhan is no different from Krishna and is worshipped by our acharyas in the Pacific succession, being non different from Krishna. And the reason why I mention this is because we're also going to have an Abhishek of a Govardhan Shiva today, and we should try to understand also that this Govardhan Shiva, just as our acharyas, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya himself worshipped the Shila and bathed the Shila with his own tears. So we are also going to bathe, not with our tears, but we will bathe him with various substance today, and it is another form of worshipping Govardhan today, in the form of worshipping this Govardhan Shila. So all these activities have been planned for today. Therefore, I will stop here, and we will continue with our ceremonies.
Yes. Add one thing, that Govardhan Shila will be placed on the Govardhan Hill we have that we're going to circumambulate. So it's like circumambulating Govardhan. So you get that benefit. And you don't have to walk on any.
through bare feet.
I could do it.
Yeah. So, different specific, what is it? Compensation? No, that's not the word I'm looking for. It's not compromise. But we're giving Krishna his
concession.
Concession is being made for those of us who cannot make the journey to Vrindavan. And on this day in Vrindavan, I know I've stayed at Bhaktivedanta Ashram on this day in Vrindavan, and so many residents from all the neighboring villages Vrindavan are doing parikrama Govardhan today. So if we can't be there, we can at least meditate circumambulating Govardhan Hill today. And as Bihari Mahaprabhu said, the Govardhan Shila is placed on top of the Govardhan Hill, and we can get the same benefits as being actually in Vrindavan ourselves. So, okay. I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.